So that was you I saw at the Home and Garden Center last month? Or was it the department store? Car dealership, that's it. From APM in New York, I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Midday Update. There is news this morning that retail sales in the U.S. went up 1.2% in May. New grads looking for work were buying some clothing. Cars and trucks are moving briskly given low gas prices. On Thursdays, we like to consult Diane Swonk, the chief economist at Mesirow Financial in Chicago. Good morning, Diane.
Good morning.
So we see this retail sales figure for May, certainly better than April.
It is better than April. What we saw was consumers, they bought a lot of cars. That helped out. But they also started buying furniture and spending at garden and building stores. Housing prices are picking up, and many people who own a home are now willing to sort of put some money back into it. That's good news out there. We're also seeing first-time buyers come back a bit, although they're spending more, they're getting clogged out, cut out of the overall housing market a bit, and they're renting more than they're actually buying. And that's showing up as increased spending, but not as much as we'd like to see.
I keep bumping into folks where a light bulb has suddenly gone off, and the realization is that, hey, interest rates aren't going to stay this low if I'm interested in a mortgage. I assume other people will cotton on to this as the year goes on.
Back in the taper tantrum 2 years ago when the Fed thought about just tapering its policy on buying large-scale treasury bonds and mortgage purchases, we saw rates run up, and that brought a lot of people into the market, and then they went away. So what we want to see is that as rates go up, we bring those first-time buyers back and we keep them here because they've got enough income, even as rates go up a little bit.
Diane Swonk at Mesirow Financial, thank you so much.
Thank you.
And where do you buy your cars? You may be surprised to learn that Costco, the place to buy vats of pretzels and toilet paper by the gross, helped sell about 400,000 cars last year. Marketplace's Annie Baxter has details.
You're not going to turn down aisle 4 at Costco and suddenly discover a hidden car lot. Costco doesn't actually sell cars. It just helps broker car deals for its members.
Costco is essentially acting as a middleman. They are working with the manufacturers to bring in vehicles and essentially set a price for the vehicle.
That's Jeff Schuster with the consulting firm LMC Automotive. He says Costco negotiates price discounts that could save members $1,000 on average.
So their members then do not have to haggle.
Why is Costco doing this? John Rand is with the research firm Kantar Retail. He says Costco's not a normal retailer. Just consider the annual membership fees, anywhere from $55 to $110 a year.
They tell you what they are. They're a club. And as a club, their mission is constantly to provide something extraordinary to members.
Rand says it's all about retaining members with cool stuff because member fees make up the bulk of Costco's revenue. I'm Annie Baxter for Marketplace.
Marketplace is a nonprofit, listener-supported service. To keep our coverage strong and relevant, please make a tax-deductible gift to Marketplace today. Your gift, in any amount, counts twice, thanks to a dollar-for-dollar match from Newman's Own Foundation. Donate at marketplace.org by June 30th. The Republican Party tried to help Herbert Hoover's candidacy in 1928 with a promise of a chicken in every pot and a car in every garage. Leading up to last weekend's elections in Mexico, the government there promised to hand out to voters 10 million digital TVs for free. Ostensibly, this is about helping Mexico's poorest join the digital TV age. And candidates have been known to give out school supplies, movie tickets, home water tanks. From time to time, we check in with Leon Krause, the anchor and correspondent at Univision's KMEX television in Los Angeles, who's been thinking about the handing out of these party favors in Mexico and the financing of elections in general.
I'm sad to say it's nothing new. We saw how the party that rules Mexico, the president's party, was basically giving out millions of free televisions to people. Obviously, they wouldn't admit that this has to do with the fact that they were going after votes. But this is what happens with Mexico's electoral system. It's a highly restrictive electoral system when it comes to laws. For example, the president basically is not allowed to campaign in favor of a said candidate. But really, no one adheres by these electoral laws.
So on election day, it's not just frowned upon. It may be, in fact, against the law for a prominent person to speak out to try to get voters to vote for one candidate over another.
Yeah, basically you can't campaign. But again, as you can clearly see, and it doesn't get much more cynical than what we saw, parties simply disregard electoral law. And listen, if they do it with something like this, why wouldn't they do it with financing, right? On paper, for example, Mexican elections are financed solely by public money and have strict spending limits. A campaign for Congress receives the equivalent of $100,000 in public money. But according to some estimates, candidates spend 10 times as much.
So you'd think then perhaps there would be an audit if there's so much more money being spent than is actually coming in officially to these campaigns.
Well, yes, but according to some experts, the fact is that the practice is so absolutely widespread. You would have to audit basically every race. I might be exaggerating a bit, but not that much. And the result would be probably quite disastrous. Frankly, I don't know what's worse, to have a private money that's under the water, under the table, or to have a private money so blatantly spent like you have in the United States. I honestly don't know what's worse. I think both things are wrong.
Leon Krause, Univision anchor. Thank you so much.
Thank you, David.
And a few weeks ago, we spoke to the European Union's competition commissioner, Margrethe Vestager, who's going after Google for allegedly favoring its advertising partners in search results. Now her team has opened an investigation into whether Amazon's electronic books business violates EU antitrust rules. Among the things that flagged the attention of regulators, clauses in Amazon contracts that make e-book vendors tell Amazon if they get a better offer from a competitor. Amazon is quoted saying its contracts are legal and in the best interests of readers in New York. I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Midday Update from APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.